This is Jazz Rhythm, jumping swing, classic blues, and hot jazz, old and new. I'm Dave Redlauer. Thanks for joining me in this tribute to the late Bob Helm. Your comments, questions, or requests for program playlists are always welcome at the Jazz Rhythm website, www.jazzhot.bigstep.com. Just ahead, Bob Helm recalls how Lou Waters' band made Hambone Kelly's in a location just north of Oakland, California, a mecca for traditional jazz in the late 1940s.
That's it. Lou Waters there on the trumpet, Wally Rose at the piano, Clancy Hayes, and all the members of Lou Waters' famous jazz band. This program comes to you direct from Hambone Kelly's, 204 San Pablo in El Cerrito, where you can see and hear Lou Waters in person Thursday through Sunday. There's parking for 350 cars, special dinners, start at only $1.25. Say, don't forget to tune our way again next Thursday night at 11:30 on KLX and KLX-FM for Lou Waters and his world-famous Yerba Buena Jazz Band. Let's catch more of that Kansas City stomp.
I think we've got Sage Hen Strutt here next up. Sage Hen Strutt in Chattanooga, these were both recorded on West Coast in early 1946. I think you were describing to me how those sessions were actually recorded.
Well, it was a very tricky arrangement, Dave. The band wanted to get a present sound of a ballroom or a large club without going into the echo chamber or using a batch of microphones to do this. So we decided that the best way to go would take a tip from the late 20s recording techniques and go with fewer mics and a play in a hall where everybody could hear themselves, back to the old concert hall idea. And the one that was picked out that had the best acoustics was the Avalon Ballroom on Sutter Street near Van Ness. Well, it wasn't set up to record, not at that time anyway, so the only way that could be done was piping the music over telephone down to studios across from the Palace Hotel on Montgomery Street.
So you sent the signal over couple of miles over telephone line from the ballroom.
3 miles of telephone wire, I guess. The engineering was done down there, and the microphones, of course, were at the Avalon. The first session, we had forgotten to stuff the ballroom's phones, the house phones, and they spoiled quite a few takes by ringing in the middle of a tune, but we had to do a lot of things we did the first day over. And I guess this went on a period of maybe several months. I forget how many sessions there were or how many records, but all the West Coast records were done that way. Thank you.
clearly the band had to have some arrangements and some idea of how to play this music. How did you actually go about working up, say, a tune like Roll, Jordan, Roll?
Well, we didn't set out to copy any of the King Olivers or Jelly Roll Morton's record note for note, but to assimilate the foundation and way of approach to the music. In order to get away from the tightly arranged thing where everybody had been before with the hotel bands and the ballroom bands of playing note for note off the arrangements. It was decided that it wouldn't help to write everything out anyway and leave it to individuals' musical integrity to assimilate what was meant by the score. So in order to do that, the best way we found was to make the notation as simple as possible, establish the lines of the different parts, and leave it to the individuals to assimilate the ideas. That basically was the foundation of all the writing.
As it turned out, it worked quite successfully. I'd say monumentally successfully in the case of the Yerba Buena Band.
I believe it was the right way to go. At that time, all of the supply of charts that have become available these days were not even thought about or even considered in those days. So what we had to go by was what we heard on the records.
Was done literally by ear.
It was done by playing records and a loose, very, very loose chart, like a road map, like a state road map instead of a county map.
Just sort of laying out the chorus and verse and what keys.
Yeah, instead of putting down all the small towns and villages.
Every note and every pause and emphasis and 2D and 4D.
A general line was established.
And his world-famous Yerba Buena Jazz Band coming to you direct from Hambone Kelly's at 204 San Pablo in El Cerrito. Come out any night, Thursday through Sunday, to hear Lou and the boys and to enjoy a sensationally delicious dinner at Hambone Kelly's. The opening number, Lou Waters and the band in the background there, Fancy Hayes is going to get going on the vocal in just a moment of Old By Jingo.
Continuing to listen to some of the recordings that my guest Bob Helm helped to make in the late 1940s with Lou Waters' Yerba Buena Jazz Band. This is Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer, your host, and it's my privilege to have Bob Helm for this interview. There were a lot of recordings made from Hambone Kelly's. After the Dawn Club closed in San Francisco, it seems like the East Bay then sort of became the focus of activity for a while.
Well, there was a long, several months period for a search to find a suitable place to put the band. And the Dawn Club was a natural, but it had a lien against it by the government for taxes that weren't paid during World War II. And so Lou wanted to continue on looking for a place rather than going on the road. The place that turned up was in the East Bay, and the old Sally Rand's old Hollywood Club on San Pablo Avenue.
Oh, Sally Rand, the famous the fan dancer?
Yeah, that's the one. The club had been closed. I guess Sally Rand had a disagreement with her partners when we first took a look at the place. It looked like all of the diners, somebody had yelled fire, and they just split the club. Everything was, some of the utensils were still on the table, and there were some half-eaten chicken and steak on the plates. And the place has just been padlocked, evidently, all of a sudden.
So literally the band took responsibility for the club.
Well, Lou was mostly responsible for getting the money together to secure a lease and get the liquor license and stock the food and liquor cabinets. And there was a lot of painting and renovating and reorganizing to do, and such as a dance floor to be built, and the bars were remodeled, and the kitchen needed equipment, and so all things like that. And it finally all came together with the help of a lot of friends. I think we opened a very auspicious day, Friday the 13th, in May or June of 1947. And continued on until 1950. That was with the original band that had been at the Dawn Club.
That's it. Lou Waters there on the trumpet, Wally Rose at the piano, Clancy Hayes, and all the members of Lou Waters' famous jazz band. This program comes to you direct from Hambone Kelly's 204 San Pablo in El Cerrito, where you can see and hear Lou Waters in person Thursday through Sunday. There's parking for 350 cars, special dinners, start at only $1.25. Say, don't forget to tune our way again next Thursday night at 11:30 on KLX and KLX-FM for Lou Waters and his world-famous Yerba Buena Jazz Band. Let's catch more of that Kansas City stomp.
Interesting historical artifacts there. The Lou Waters Yerba Buena Jazz Band, broadcasting live from Hambone Kelly's between about 1946 and 1950. That last was, of course, the Kansas City Stomps. Before that, we heard Sage Hen Strut, Chattanooga Stomp, and Oh By Jingo, those all issued by the San Francisco Traditional Jazz Foundation, most of them from rare tapes in the collection of Bob Helm. Now, in parts 2 and 3 of this series, we'll explore Bob Helm's more than 30 years with Turk Murphy's band. Here's some very exciting small band performances, long out of print and never previously issued recordings from the 50s, some recent projects, and more delectable rarities from Bob Helm's lengthy and remarkable life in music. You had a very interesting comment about Perdido Street Blues, Bob.
I was always moved by the numbers, and many, many people in the band liked it too. Especially Turk, and especially liked the band that played it first time and only time that I'd ever heard it before, and the only version I'd ever heard played at that time. was the Johnny Dodds Black Bottom Snoppers version. From what I can gather, the source was Lillian. She probably wrote the arrangement, and how much of it is her original lead line, I don't know, but the rhythm part, of course, is a traditional West African shuffle dance called a bambula, which has very early background. I guess Lillian did some research into the origins, and it would indicate that it's her arrangement and possibly her collection of melodic line. And
you say in New Orleans, this has been traced back to, is it Congo Square?
Well, I believe it's Cable's, the historian mentions it as 1819, and his description of the dance in the square. It was the yearly event, I guess dating back to some sort of a celebration. The origin, I don't know. It was a celebration of the common folk, I suppose slaves, if you will. But they all participated in it, the Indian from the various tribes that settled in locality, and the people from West Africa all participated in it. It was like a Mardi Gras in that particular event.
And so this shuffle rhythm was key to the...
Oh, I think it was an ethnic dance brought over from Africa, West Africa. And
then it was played on large drums?
The introduction, it was introduced by... they had the drummer, the man with... as Cables described the event, he described a huge drum and a huge drummer with a huge beef bone in his hand, and who shouted out, "Dance like Bambula, Bambalam," and he struck the beat with his beef bone, "Bambalam, Bambalam, Bambalam," and then the ring shuffle started.
Mother's cry, "I must save my child, Sadie Green, a of New Orleans. She's got more bows than Boston has baked beans. If she starts to shake her hip, Captain, Captain, sink your ship. She bags a vamp, oh gosh, Mama burned my Macintosh. Ever since the stampin' baby came to town, she's turned everything upside down. Oh boy, what a cat, she got big brown eyes and teeth to match. What a queen, Sadie Green, she's a vamp of New Orleans.
Bob Helm with the South Frisco Jazz Band, Burdito Street Blues, and an updated Sadie Green. Of course, my very special thanks to Bob Helm. Back in the 1990s, he generously shared his time and many of these rare recordings when we taped this interview. Please join me next time as this farewell to Bob Helm continues on Jazz Rhythm. Helm's best recent recordings are available on Stomp Off Records, and quite a bit of the vintage material we've been hearing is available through the San Francisco Traditional Jazz Foundation. Now, both can be found through links at the Jazz Rhythm website, your portal to the World Wide Web of classic jazz on the internet, www.jazzhot.bigstep.com. Jazz Rhythm is produced by Rhythm Productions, specializing in professional transfer and restoration of rare discs and tapes. I'm Dave Radlauer. That's Jazz Rhythm. Thanks for being with me. Finally, on yet another Stomp Off CD with Chris Tile's 1992 Rover Boys recorded in New Orleans, Bob sings a spirited Shake That Thing.
Georgia got a dance they do. Ain't not to it, easy to do. They call it Shake That Thing. They call it Shake That Thing. I'm getting mighty tired telling you to shake that thing. I was walking downtown, stumbled and fell. My mouth dropped open like a country well. Doing Shake That Thing. I was doing Shake That Thing. Well, I'm getting mighty tired telling you to shake that thing. Well, Papa Charlie Jackson wrote this thing. He just got back from shaking that thing. Do it, shake that thing. Do it, shake that thing. I'm getting my turn and telling you to shake that thing. Shake it one time.